The News from Lake Wobegon podcast is supported by Yoplait Yogurt, with real fruit and dairy in 25 flavors. You can explore them all. Yoplait. It is so good.
Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out there on the edge of the prairie. The beautiful golden fall weather and the trees bright golden and orange and yellow and great piles of pumpkins there in the big truck in front of Ralph's Pretty Good Grocery. The hay fever season is almost over, which is to the great relief of people in Lake Wobegon. Clint Bunson sneezed so hard he threw his back out, and he had to miss work for the rest of the week. And at the sidetrack tap, Wally, behind the bar, sneezed with such force that he blew a cigar the whole length of the bar, and there were 45 people in there. This was the appreciation night of the Lake Wobegon Whippets, and they were all there, and their wives were all there. And he leaned back, and this was a sneeze that built up from his toes, and he sneezed hard, and he blew this cigar, and Tommy was standing there. He had just held up a glass of beer to 2011. Next year, you wait for next year. They had a record of 14 and 35 this year. But anyway, no need dwelling on that. It's a new season coming up in the spring. He was holding up a glass of beer, and this cigar came over like a comet, trailing sparks behind it, and it dropped ashes into his glass of beer. Now, here were outfielders and infielders, and this cigar went right through them, which was kind of like a lot of games this year. And it flew the length of the bar, we think, but when he went to look for the cigar, he couldn't find it. The Whippets were walking up and down, and everybody looking down, he just swept on Monday, and it was amazing the stuff that he found. He found a napkin from the senior class prom of 2005, Nights in Paris, and he found some money that he found two $100 bills lying back there behind the jukebox, and tucked them in his pocket. Nobody else saw them. He found a letter, unopened, postmarked 1978, unmarked, to Mr. Bjorn Sjostrom, who died 5 years ago at the Good Shepherd home. He opened the letter. It was beautifully written in blue fountain pen. And it said, "My darling, I've thought of you every day since I turned down your offer of marriage, and always with bitter regret. The 14 years that I spent with Larry were empty, longing for you. And now that he's gone, I think of you even more. Call me. Call me." It was sad to see. He put it in his pocket, and he took the $200 bills, and he put a paper clip on them with a post-it note that said "lost," and put it into the cash drawer and closed it up. The $100 bills belonged to Pastor Liz from the Lutheran Church. She had seen the Soderberghs, Earl and Lois, on Sunday afternoon. They came by the church. They're the first of the snowbirds to leave. They always leave early. Lois can't bear if there's even a light frost. These two large people walked in with an enormous check for the church. They like to leave their pledge till the last minute, you know, to make sure the Lutheran church stays on its toes. And so they came in with their annual contribution, and Pastor Liz sat there and she talked with them and asked about their children and asked about their health. "Oh," Earl said, "we just go day by day, that's all. I'm 84 years old. I lost my prostate and I lost the lower half of my left lung. So it's just every day is a gift, that's all. We're headed down to Tampa," and he handed over the check and she thanked him for it and she said a prayer. She said a prayer. She prayer for safe travel and a prayer for their health and for their happiness in Tampa. And she had a little index card there with the names of their children. So she prayed for each child, including their child Faith. She prayed for Faith, who's been having a tough time lately. And they were moved. They
They wept, and Earl reached into his pocket and he pulled out $200 bills and he gave them to her. She said, "I'll put this in the collection plate." "No," he said, "that's for you. That's for you. A tip." So she stuck it in her shirt pocket. She's going out in a red plaid shirt, and she went down to the sidetrack tap, and she was there talking with some people, and she pulled out this slip of paper that she'd written a poem by Yeats on, because she'd seen swans out on the lake. She read this poem: "The trees are in their autumn beauty, the woodland paths are dry. Under the October twilight, the water mirrors a still sky. Upon the brimming water, among the stones, are 59 swans. Unwearied still, lover by lover, they paddle in the cold, companionable streams, or climb the air. Their hearts have not grown old. Passion or conquest, wander where they will, attend upon them still." She pulled out the poem, and the bills fell to the floor, and she did not notice. She's been walking around town visiting the sick, and she visited Clint Bunsen, who had sneezed so hard and thrown his back out. He'd found that it relieved his pain a little bit if he lay flat on a hard surface with his legs up against the wall, and he was lying out on his front porch on a golden day with his legs straight up against a pillar. She walked by and she sat down by him. "The air so sweet, the air so sweet, and all these beautiful colors of the leaves brought back to him all the memories of when he was a kid and riding his bike around town and skidding on loose gravel and skinned his knee and came into the house weeping, and his mother looked down at him and said, 'What's your problem? What's your problem? Somebody pee on your sugar bread?'" Which she always would say. She didn't go for self-pity or children weeping for themselves. "Just get over it. Get over it. You're not the first person who ever skinned your knee, okay? Just get up. Get up. You're all right. You're all right." This was the lesson he learned as a child, not to feel sorry for yourself. And here he lay flat on his back in pain. But the sneeze had dislodged a deer tick, which was in the small of his back. And his wife Irene found it, and so he was treated for Lyme's disease, and now he's been spared all of this. He lay there looking up at Liz, and he said, "You know, I always thought when I got to be this age, I'd be smarter than I am." She said, "It's not about intelligence. It's about surrender. It's about letting go. You need to come to church more often." She hiked down to the sidetrack tap to meet Father Wilmer. If you are a female pastor in Lake Wobegon and you want to hang out with somebody, there are advantages to hanging out with a celibate man. It just is a lot easier in so many ways. They stood there by the bar and they had a glass of beer apiece, and Wally walked over. He was all happy because he'd found this money, $200 bills, and if nobody came in to claim it, then he was going to keep it and treat himself to a trip down to Chicago. "Oh," Liz said, "nobody's going to come in and claim that. Don't worry about that. It was left by some rich person. They wouldn't miss a $100 bill. Nobody carries $100 bills but rich people. So you just plan that trip. You go and have yourself a good time." And then he started to sneeze. It was a big sneeze with a big wind-up. And he leaned way back. She put her hand on his shoulder, and he sneezed this explosive sneeze. It was like a shotgun going off. Out beyond from the pond, you could hear ducks taking off. Birds that had been postponing migration started to head down the flyway towards the south. The jukebox started up. Hadn't been playing all day, had been broken, and now it started up. And it was Dolly and Porter singing, "You Were Always on My Mind." The explosiveness of it shocked Florian and Myrtle Krebsbach, and Myrtle reached around and took hold of her old husband. He was astonished. She hadn't put her arm around him in years. "I didn't know you still cared," she said. It was a chain reaction. Love, love. It goes on and on, on and on. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.